There we go. This morning we're going to be reading out of the book of Hebrews. And shared with you last week that we're kind of gearing up for the Advent season. We're going to be starting to talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus to His people for our salvation. I'm excited for that. I get excited about that each year, as I think we all should nurture that sense of expectation, right? Waiting for Christ's second Advent. But we're taking some time, a couple of weeks here before that, to discuss some other things, some other topics. And this is I almost forgot that there was even an election this week because there was just seemed like so much stuff going on. But it was a big week and a lot of big thoughts on a lot of our minds and in the news and all this different type of stuff going on in Washington and across the country. And that's besides all the stuff that you and I face, you know, in our days, our ups and downs and our trials and things that we face. So we're going to be reading, I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the first part of Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to kind of take off running from there. But it's funny how often the word courage has come up this morning. That wasn't planned, but we're going to be talking about some courage today. But Hebrews chapter 11 starts with, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For it is by the for by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the word. We thank you that you are here with us, that you are in us, that you give us freely of yourself. As Tony said, your arm is outreached. And I pray, Lord, today that we would all find means, Lord, to reach out to you as well. Lord, we pray today that you would make space for the things that you want to communicate to our hearts and that we might catch a fresh glimpse of you. And grasp a hold, Lord, of real power for our lives and for our days, and for the obstacles that you have, that we find in our path toward and with you. So, Lord, we give you this time. I do ask, Lord, as I do each week, that you'd smooth my wrinkles and guard my words this morning, and that you would get glory from this time. In your name, we pray. Amen. Courage. Whenever I think of the word courage. Courage is needed, is it not? Courage is needed. We must learn to have courage. And there's, for all the talk of courage, where do we find it when we need it? Perhaps you faced some things this week, I know I certainly did, that required some strength from somewhere in order to face them. Not knowing what the outcome is going to be, we go into trials, we go into troubles, life hits us head on. Where do we find the strength to face it? Whenever I think of courage, of course, my mind immediately gravitates toward that lovable character, the cowardly lion. That's right. You know, a lot of what I want to offer today is how, and the message is titled Faith and Fable, how often stories communicate to us deep truths that we can glean from, that we can carry. And one of the, I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think that The Wizard of Oz, the film, The Wizard of Oz, is just one of the best pieces of writing ever. If you pay attention to the words that are said during that film, there's just lots of little nuggets in there for you, but you know, most of you know the story. If you don't, you know, I think you should probably, but in The Wizard of Oz, the movie, there's a time in there where the cowardly lion, he sings a song. And he's finding his courage. Some of the words to that song, toward the end there, the kind of the climax of the song, Cowardly Lion says, "What makes a king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag on the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist or the dusky dusk? What makes the muskrat guard his musk? Courage." Love it. So good. "What makes the Sphinx the seventh wonder? Courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Hottentot so hot? What puts the ape in apricot? What do they got that I ain't got? Courage." He says, you can say that again. The funny thing about the Cowardly Lion is, in that character, that story and that character, is that for all of his cowardice, who exhibited the most courage? He did. And I find that we can identify with that because as we seek courage, heart, as we seek power and strength, we so often, at the same time as seeking it and grabbing a hold of it and pursuing it, we also feel that other side of it, right? We feel a little bit like the Cowardly Lion. Like, well, we're acting, but we don't know where it's coming from because I don't feel courageous. I don't feel strong. There's a lot we can learn from that. And I know I've mentioned this in times prior, but the word courage comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. It's French for heart. So you give somebody heart, you encourage them. You give them courage. You give them heart. We look for it. Stories have a tremendous amount of power, as I said before, to communicate deep truths to us. And sometimes we accept them unknowingly. When Jesus taught, when Jesus was doing his ministry and he was teaching, oftentimes he would teach about the kingdom in form of stories. And people, he would talk about fields or farmers or kings or things like that, and people would listen intently because they had no idea that he was talking about God. He was talking about heaven. And they would take these things in and they would listen to his stories, his parables, and they would let them in because they didn't feel threatened by it. And then all of a sudden the people would walk away and the time bomb would go off in their minds and in their hearts. Oh, he was talking about God. The stories do that the same way to us. How many of you grew up with fairy tales? I think it's becoming less and less prevalent, maybe. And that may not be a good thing. Fairy stories, old tales, fables, if you will. Some people have gone away from them now because they think that it's going to scare the kids or something, but G.K. Chesterton said that fairy tales do not give the child his first idea of bogey or the dragon. What fairy tales give the child is his first clear idea of the possible defeat of bogey. The baby has known the dragon intimately ever since he had an imagination. What fairy tale provides for him is St. George to kill the dragon. We can use stories, can't we? Some of you might remember growing up, hopefully, nearly all of you, remember those good old shows or those good old movies, that got, you know, like The Lone Ranger or Davy Crockett. What those stories held out is fascinating to me. In fact, I'm not super proud of this, but I stayed up late watching one of those old shows last night. Kind of fascinated with the way that manhood and honor and rightness was portrayed in some of those old stories. In the old stories, the characters acted in such a way so as to make children, really they were kind of geared toward children, to make children believe in what was right, in your word, in confronting evil. It's fascinating to me the amount of courage that some of these characters portrayed. We watched, last night we watched Davy Crockett and the River Pirates. And they would, you know, Davy Crockett, who would stand by his word even if he was going to lose by it. He was never afraid to square up to the bad guy, no matter how big or bad the bad guy thought he was. And I thought, well, this is cool. That what was portrayed to children was courage in those days. Courage to stand firm in confrontation. Dare I say, courage to even throw a punch, if necessary. Don't see that so much anymore. But the stories have power to give courage. I think some of the old stories, not to go off, I feel like I'm going off a tangent, but it'll come back around. Some of these old stories gave young men, boys and girls, It made them believe that they were capable of great actions. That it was possible to win, to do what's right. That in life, just as a matter of course, you fought the bad guys. You know? Didn't just sit idly by, hand to hand, man to man. It's just what you did. But there's other stories too, not just old movies or not just old shows or comic books or stories like that. They're real stories. There are real stories of men and women, for that matter, for, you know, being politically correct and spreading the goodness across the board here. Stories of individuals who by some source of strength faced insurmountable odds and were not afraid, even if success wasn't guaranteed or even expected, that stepped up and stood the line when it was necessary. History is full of these examples. You know, to pick a few of the famous ones, you've got the more famous examples. You've got the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae. If you've ever read into that, it's pretty amazing. 300 men, they knew they were going to their certain death against the Persian army that was coming. Xerxes was coming. But they knew that if they sent their best, they could buy their homeland time to prepare. And so they went and they held the line. Tremendous courage in the face of disaster. Or maybe more recently, the story of Hacksaw Ridge, a pacifist that went to war. He wouldn't even carry a gun. But his courage saved many, and he's still remembered. Or, you know, back to the old Davy Crockett, what happened at the Alamo? They didn't have a chance, but they went anyway. Because why? Because it was the right thing to do. Where does that kind of strength come from? There's too many stories to tell to go through them all. But I would posit to you this morning that that kind of courage can only come from faith. That kind of courage to stand up to impossible odds, unlikely chance of success, comes by faith. We read in Hebrews chapter 11 about many, many of people that God had called and God had promised that stood on those promises and risked everything that they had to latch onto them. And we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, the source of their courage was explicitly faith. If I should take the time to read it all or not, but we read here, and if you have your Bible open to Hebrews 11 there, if you start in verse 4, the author here starts with Abel, way back in the beginning. Adam and Eve's son. By faith, he says, that Abel offered God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, and that he was commended, that faith, that trust in God was commended to him as righteousness. He goes on. He says, by faith, in verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. He was not found because God had taken him. By faith. In verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark to no little criticism of his peers, I'm sure. And he became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, in verse 8, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. In verse 13, Sarah, by faith, in verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even though she was past the age. Now, there's something that's important about all these that we read about in verse 13. These all died in faith. Interesting. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they'd gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desired a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. A hope that supersedes circumstance. We continue on in verse 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but again, he goes into this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons, bowing in worship. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. They had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And the author here of Hebrews says, what more? He mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. He says that by faith, they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might again rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. Goes on, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. And then the last couple of verses there, and these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. You see, all these stories about courageous people that chose a better city, if you will, chose a higher reality than that which they were confronted with. They faced wicked opposition. Many of these, all of these that he mentioned actually, died before ever seeing the fruit of what they were fighting for. And yet they willingly went into the teeth of death or their enemy. And in doing so, they overcame with glory. Glory. They were remembered for their faith. And what was the source of that faith, that strength? God present with them. They believed God more than they believed their circumstances. They believed God more than they believed the strength of their enemy. They believed God more than they believed their own abilities. The evidence of things unseen. Faith. Being willing to take action. Being willing to believe. To act on that belief without the guarantee of success. Did they know? Did they not know? What was more important, and what I think is more important for us, it's not to know or not know an outcome, but to believe in the God that upholds us all, that He has prepared a place for us. Can that give you power? It can. I know it can. I've experienced it, and I think you probably have too, at one time or another, experienced stepping out in faith and trusting God at His word, and good is held up. We're not always going to know. We're not always going to know for certain. And not to be that guy, but I have another movie quote for you. The movie Secondhand Lions has a great little thing in there. And Sheila, it's one of your favorites, isn't it? In that story, there's this old man, an old warrior, victor in many old battles. And now he's old, and there's a young boy there, and he gives the boy this word of wisdom. He says, sometimes the things that may or may not be true are the things that a man needs to believe in the most. That people are good, that honor, courage, and virtue mean everything, that power and money and power mean nothing, that good always triumphs over evil. And I want you to remember this, that love, true love, never dies. Remember that, boy, remember that. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. A man should believe in those things because those things are worth believing in. Now, in this case, faith is different than just belief. And that little story says, you know, you believe these things or whatever. Faith is deeper than belief because faith is evidence of things not seen. Not just a claim of things unseen, but it's evidence of things unseen. Evidence is important. Evidence makes the world go round some days. That believing in a better city, as that was talked about in Hebrews 11, a city made by God, a better city, a better destiny, one not crafted by the strength of will, but a destiny crafted by God in love for his people, for you and me. And that's all well and good, these ideas, you know, these high thoughts of courage and honor and valor and justice and doing what's right in the face of the enemy. It's all feel-good stuff. And it's easy to celebrate that and cheer that on when we're safe and warm and comfortable with a full belly and friends. Right? It's easy. We like, hurrah, yeah, truth, justice, righteousness. Courage. But where do we find it when we're not with friends? When we're alone? When we're cold? When we're in trial? Or in need? Jesus gave us a couple good words on this. I think, just as a caveat, we don't give Jesus enough credit in our time. We'll talk about war heroes, and we'll talk about legends, you know, and guys like Davy Crockett and, you know, all this and that. Jesus is a man, with the most courage. Remember who Jesus is? Jesus is truth. Jesus is light. Jesus, above all other men that ever walked the face of this earth, stood and stared death in the face with the most courage, the most faith. Despised, abused, he suffered it all, without fear, seemingly. Stared death in the face, unflinchingly laid himself down to rise up again for you and me. We would do better to think of the courage of Jesus. But he leaves these words, his last words recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Before Jesus leaves the disciples, he says this in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Think of that! All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. Here's this part. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me, so go and make disciples, and I am with you, even to the end of the age. Where do we find strength? Knowing that he's with us. He's with us, even to the end of the age. Again, and this, just to underline that, and maybe even in more depth, in John, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 14. Listen to this. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit, capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a promise! I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, listen to this. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. What does that mean? To manifest. Oh, don't go down the rabbit trail on TikTok of manifesting things. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is if we love Christ and we work to obey his commandments and we seek him out, he will see that and he will manifest, make himself apparent to us, show himself. He'll show himself. Now, are we talking about, you know, heavenly apparitions or visions of Jesus in the flesh? Maybe, I don't know, I've never had that. But what I have had is seeking him out in my darkest of hours and having peace wash over me. Have you ever experienced that? Strength wash over me. An ability to act when I know it's going to hurt. Wash over. He promises this, church. If we love him, we seek after him, he will manifest himself to us, the source. When the hour is dark, when we feel a lack of courage, he's the source. And he gives himself to us. The truth is, church, is that that same Spirit that faced death unflinchingly and was willing to lay himself down in love to rise up in power, that same Spirit is given to you and is given to me when we seek him. So when we enter into our time of trial, he's not only with us, he's in us, he's through us, he's in front of us and behind us, to our right and to our left, above us and below us, all around, that you and I might share in his glory. How amazing! The glory of his kingdom, not this one. He's built a better city. A better country, a better kingdom for you and for me. So let's seek him. Huh? Courage. Courage. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are a good king. We thank you, Lord, for your promises that we can lean on no matter how dark the times may be. No matter how big the giants are that we face, or how big the shortcomings are that we own, you are bigger. And you have promised us your presence. And you've promised us to reveal your Spirit of truth in our lives, that we could face whatever danger. Lord, we're not pursued by an enemy that wants to torture us or eradicate us to our face. But Lord, we do face other enemies, other voices, other accusers. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us each your Spirit, that same Spirit of power, your Holy Spirit of revelation, of truth, that we might face the trials that are before us in your name, and that we might see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. So come, Lord Jesus, and speak to our hearts. In your name, Jesus. Amen.